Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Come on. Welcome to Money Savage, a Savage Approach to Personal Finance. This is George Graubacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, a strong and powerful Jonathan DeYo. Jonathan, are you ready to do this?
I am ready to do it, George.
Excellent. Let's do this. Jonathan is a CPWA. He's an AIF, a best-selling author, a speaker. He's the president of DeYo Wealth Management and the founder of Mindful Money. I'm excited to have you on. Jonathan, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Great. I'm just really glad to be back again and to chat with you some more. And nothing has changed. I mean, the first time we did this, we were on shelter in place and we're still on shelter in place. So, you know, in the house, we're just bumping into each other quite a bit. You know, we're having some more dinner together. We've instituted 80s movie nights on Fridays. We've seen, you know, with my 12-year-old and 15-year-old, and we did one that I'm not sure was the right thing for the 12-year-old. We watched Jerry Maguire, which there's kind of a racy, you know, sex scene in there that I'm like, oof. I was like, I can't believe I did that. I totally forgot it was in there.
But, sure.
Whatever we're doing, and we're sort of hanging out together a lot more. I took my first foray out into the world in about 2 months this week, last weekend. I went and saw my brother and my two nephews, and my son was with us, and we stayed on two different sides of the soccer field and booted a soccer ball back and forth and figured we were safe, and we got to get out and get some sun and get some fresh air. And that was really good.
Nice.
And in terms of the office, it's, you know, we're kind of coming back around to where, you know, 2 months ago we all started working from home, you know, except for one of us, and then shortly thereafter another one of us. So there's 8 of us in the office, and 2 people were working from the office and everyone else working from home. And then, you know, one of the team working from home doesn't have really an office space. She's got a roommate. And so, you know, she's basically sitting on her bed, working on her laptop. And another one of our teammates has a 3-year-old at home. And so really it's tough to get anything done because 3-year-old, you know, demands and deserves attention.
For sure.
So, and has no, you know, no daycare nor, and it's, that's, you know, gone. So we figured out a lot of that. We figured out some technology that helped us communicate, but we've just basically said, you know, if you got to take a break, mental health day, you can't show up for, you know, whatever, I don't even care what the reason is. You got to take care of yourself right now. And we'll manage without whatever it is you got to go do. And so we want to support all the team members in their personal lives. Cause it's, you know, this is interesting. And the business has done really well. The last couple of months we've done, you know, intake calls. We've developed new clients. We've started financial planning processes with a lot of different people. And I think that, you know, the next 6 months is going to be very interesting for our industry. Anyone that does it right, who does financial planning and really gets to know their clients and, you know, doesn't overcharge, doesn't sell them crappy products, and anyone that's doing the right thing in our industry is going to do really well in the next 6 months. And that same thing happened to us in 2008. You know, world fell apart in 2008 and my business grew more than it's ever grown the 6 months or a year after 2008, after Bear Stearns went under and Great Recession was, you know, in sway. Suddenly clients are like, oh my God, you know, I need help at this. And so they'd come and talk to us, and those clients are still clients and will be clients for, you know, as long as I think we're in business and as long as they need our services. So I think this is they say that when there's a market dislocation, stocks return to the rightful owners. I think that the advisors benefit when there's a dislocation. I think people who maybe weren't sure, they seek out advice and then they never leave because they see the benefits finally.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate all that, and I'm glad to hear it. So we're having this conversation on June the 1st. Jonathan and I initially talked on May 15th, but my audio engineer, me, screwed up the audio. So here we are having the conversation again, which is awesome. But, I mean, what a difference essentially 2 weeks can make, right? It's obviously you're still sheltering in place, but a lot of the rest of the United States is opening up. But now we have what's going on with the protests, and so it's certainly been a tricky year. And I know that when we talked, you'd been holding a ton of webinars, and the number of people at first was huge, and slowly but surely it's sort of been whittling down. So where now do you think that people are at? I don't want to call it in the grieving process, but it's certainly through a process, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I just literally just, I had to leave my my Q&A session with clients to get here. We had double booked the space, so I just got off the. I left everyone in good hands. You know, Scott is in there asking questions. David's in there answering questions, and one of my planning team is in there answering questions. So we have a bunch of us that are answering questions. Usually, I do some presentation about what's going on in the market, and the economy. Well, less the market, more the economy. And today, you know, it was all about everyone has a different sense of what this means. But we started today's Q&A with a moment of silence and remembering George Floyd. Everything that's come out of that, and I've seen the mayor's talk, and I've listened to a lot of people talk about how, you know, this looting and rioting is terrible and it's bad. And I just, I'm personally torn between the two, maybe it's not extremes, but I'm torn because, you know, I don't like looting and I don't like rioting and I don't like the destruction of private property. And I do think it's probably, it probably does more harm than good in the big picture, but there's a point at which, you know, this many black men get killed by police, there's a point, and I think we're past the point, but there's a point where rioting makes sense. There's a point where if it's your community, if it was 6'5" white guys from Norway, that it was happening to you, there's a point where I lose it and I would be so angry that I would have to do something. And there isn't really a good thing to do. What do you do when so many people die like this? And so a lot of the conversation we had this morning in Q&A was about that. What does this mean for the economy? And the interesting thing is all these stores that are getting, damage done to them and stuff's getting stolen from them. And most of these stores, and this is, you know, when you see it happening on the news, you don't think this through, but most of these stores are going to have insurance on whatever's in their store that they're selling. Some of them won't. And that's unfortunate. It's also sort of poor planning. One could have insurance. You know, that's the definition of financial planning is taking care of all the things that could go wrong to give you the ability to take care of the things that can go right. And theft in a retail store is one of those things that you insure against. All this damage is going to get covered by insurance. The products that were sitting on shelves that didn't have people visit them for the last 2 months, those products are also insured. So in a way, and this is twisted, and I understand how twisted this is, but in a way, they're making sales that they couldn't ordinarily make because insurance is going to reimburse. And let's say 70% of stores have insurance. That means 70% of the stuff that was not moving off of shelves anyways because no one could shop and it was stolen, but insurance is going to reimburse many of those businesses. So in a way, they're doing more business now than they would have anyways, even though they're not doing business and there's a bunch of damage, you know, all those kinds of things. But it's an interesting take on this to say that they're actually moving product, not the right way, but they're moving product, right? And so you think about it, I'm far more concerned about the historical moment of, you know, the tipping point. And I'm hopeful that we as a culture can do something about it. And I don't know what that thing is, but I'm hopeful we can do something about it. I'm sorry, I'm kind of going off on a rant on this thing.
No, I certainly appreciate that. It's we're living through a very, very important time. So I think that everything you said is very accurate. And it's like when a really bad thing happens, if we're able to come together as a community and not to sound trite, but work together to heal it or find justice and then find solutions and get to the root cause of why this is happening in as constructive a way as possible. Because yes, I think that you're right. Like, we need to pay attention. Why is this taking place? Because something is so bad and there's such a huge number of people in our culture that are reacting this way that it needs our attention. Community is in good times and in bad times. I think it's what makes life good and it helps us through tough times and it's who we enjoy the good times with. So I think that everything you said is spot on. So if we could, I'd love to just, I know that so much of your work is, or a passion of yours is helping in the workplace and helping with employees. And for me, it's also a passion, and it's because of community and it's because of workplace cultures. And each one of those is its own little community. So I wanted to get your take on why it is how it is that community plays into just meaningful change. And that could be your diet and exercise, or it could be your financial situation.
Wow, that's a huge question. One that I am not expert in, but I can definitely in our own community. Well, there's in our own community, and I'm in Berkeley, California, and like you said, whatever the issue is, whether it's diet and exercise or whether it's financial literacy or whatever it might be, and the things that I do with those companies that we work with is around financial literacy. Yes, we manage 401ks and we support the company itself in being the fiduciary on their 401k, on their retirement plan systems, on their retirement plan services. But the thing that makes us different, and we have the same stable of potential vendors as anyone else that does it, the thing that makes us different is our educational platform and our commitment to providing financial literacy. And this, for me, actually started out as a tool. The courses and the things that we teach started as a tool to train my wealth management clients' kids. And then my wealth management clients said, well, does it have to be my kids or can we attend?
Yeah.
And so they started coming and attending to some of these things. And then we were like, you know what, we have these classes. Let's just, check in with our 401k clients and see if they'd like us to do a little bit more for them. And they're like, totally, yeah, I'd love to have it. And so we have, we've got digital classes, we've got, live classes, we've got, this Q&A thing that I've been doing for the last 2 months with clients because of the COVID. We've done that for a long time, not on a weekly basis, but on on a monthly basis. Hey, you may not be a client, but you're a participant in one of the plans that we cover, and you may have questions about something outside that plan. Well, we have office hours. We do a Q&A. We just let people call in and ask questions. And it could be about long-term care insurance. It could be about, what do I do with this on my taxes? It could be about whatever it is. And we just try to help them, or at least give them resources that can support them in those decisions that they have to make, whether or not they're anything that has to do with their 401k. And it's interesting that our role as educators, and I think that, banks and insurance companies, you can find lots of different educational programs out there, right? Almost all of those are pointed at selling a product. And if those are the only things that people have access to, then they're going to buy those products that we all know, that we all, meaning, financial advisors and financial planners and people that are fiduciaries, know are just crap. And if that's the only access they have to the information, they're just going to end up owning a bunch of crap and they're not going to have any plan. They're not going to know. They're not going to understand what they have to do in terms of, checking a credit profile, in terms of, you know, right now, what a great time to refinance your mortgage right now. And they're not going to know that because their bank doesn't want them to refinance and get to take a lower rate, right? Their bank wants to keep the old rate. They want to get 5% interest instead of 3% interest on your mortgage. So they're not going to tell you about that. So us, the financial advisory, the fiduciary community, have to step up our game. We gotta provide more education. We gotta serve more people. And I think you probably know this as well, that the problem, or one of the big problems, is that most advisors are trained to consistently move up market. I want to work with wealthier people. I want to have fewer clients and make more money per client. And that, it just ends up leaving a bunch of people behind on the education curve. And we can take the tools and the wisdom we've learned and we use with our wealthy clients, and we can actually support and educate a much broader swath of people. Now, when I think of mindful money, that is our community message. That is the heart and soul of what we do, is we help people learn to make better decisions that they, you know, educate them in a way they won't have access to in other places. And it's kind of Robin Hood-y, you know, because I'm taking the revenue source of my wealthier clients, and I'm producing some educational, you know, digital educational videos and things that I can offer to people and give them the right messages and the right training that they need.
I appreciate all that. The right message and the right training. And that's, I mean, it's so important. Obviously, you were just talking about how there are these just a dearth of financial literacy programs out there, but the problem is they're designed to sell something, and there's just some kind of a sales pitch on the other side of it. So being able to have those real and honest conversations with people, I think is truly what people need. And I mean, the goal being to really help people to put a plan together, right?
Yep. Yep. That's our marquee course. I mean, I wrote this book, Mindful Money, you know, Simple Practices of Reaching Financial Goals and Increasing Your Happiness Dividend. And in the book, there's an exercise at the end of every single chapter. And there's like 26 chapters. And at the end of every chapter, there's a very simple exercise that you do the first chapter, you do the second chapter, you soon on the eighth chapter, your 12th chapter, your 20th chapter. And at the end of the book, you have a financial plan. Like you've done the work. It's do it yourself, right? There's not an advisor in the thing, but you follow through, and you've got a debt payment plan, you've got a savings plan, you've got an investment plan. It all comes together to, at the end, you have a plan, and it is the plan. And I think this is one of the things we talked about a lot last time we talked. How do we change the mentality of the folks that are consuming financial media away from being market focused and performance driven to more goal focused and planning driven? And if people can do that, if people can get out of the market focus, you know, what is such and such stock doing today? How are the riots affecting the S&P? You know, if you get out of that mentality and you can start being goal focused and planning driven, you realize that there are no in the moment decisions. You know, there's no leverage you can pull by trading or timing the market or selecting better investments that'll help you win in the short term. There is only things you can do that can help you win in the long term. And so focus on that, and you'll have better outcomes. And that starts with that education. That starts with understanding where you can have an effect and where you should probably have humility instead of trying to make a decision.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that very much. And so much of, if you were just to turn on financial media thinking, okay, this is the things I should be focused on, because if it weren't, then why would every financial TV show on TV be talking about it? And I knew that when I started investing in my 20s, I was just trying to pick stocks and, you know, follow trends and all that. And it just couldn't have been a more awful decision. And I work in the industry. So if you don't, and you don't have access to just that simple, it's not simple, but that shift away from that to being goal focused and planning driven, well, then you don't ever know that.
Yeah. And it's so I was raised, my early years in the industry was was 1996, 7, 8, 9. So that I was, my formative years were the dot-com years. And if you think about that, everyone could trade their way to wealth for mm-hmm. about 4 years there. And they did, I mean, they did ridiculous. I think the NASDAQ in 99 was up 100% in 1 year. And if you, and there were stocks on the NASDAQ that were up, you know, 300% mm-hmm. and 500%. I had clients from the tech companies and their stocks were, you know, 300% this year. They'd go up 200% and split the next year. And it was just, you know, and you're trying to, I was pitching, hey, you should probably own some value, but you should probably own some international, and you should probably have some bonds in here too. And they were like, are you crazy?
What?
You know, we're making 100% a year. Can you promise me that? And I'm like, no, but you know, this is going to go away, right? This is short term. This will not last. And you know, some people listened, some people didn't.
And that's just how it's always going to be. And it might not be as crazy as that time and whatever, but there's always going to be something else and some other shiny object that we want to put our eye on, that we want to focus our time on. That's what our brains work, right? We want to buy when things are high. We want to sell when things are low. So it's media's fault, and it's also our brain's fault.
Yeah, and the two really fight against us, right?
Yeah.
That 24-hour cycle, news cycle, blah, 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 blah. It's just constant bombarding us. And our brain, the amygdala, can't tell the difference between, is this something, is this a lion? Because that's all it sees. It's just lions going to eat us. And it's almost none of this stuff. And it's the longer I'm in this industry, the less often I look at my own portfolio. Like I'm in the industry, right? So I have to watch my models. But I absolutely know that I get emotionally involved in my own assets. And if I look at my own assets and see that my portfolio is down 30%, I have an emotional response to that, even though I know that there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I should do about it. There's nothing I need to do about it. But I still have an emotional response. And so to not have to overcome that emotional response, I just follow my plan. My plan says, you know, Jonathan, of your income, you save this much every month. And this much goes into these three or four broadly diversified pieces of your portfolio. And you don't have to think about it. You just keep putting more in every month. You put a little bit more in. And if it goes down, I don't have to think about it. I just know I got more going in. So it's going to buy cheap. And if it goes up, I don't really have to think about it because I know I'm going to put more in, but it's going to buy things, buy fewer shares at a higher price. You know, I don't look anymore. And I'm looking at, it's weird to say that because, you know, people are higher risk. Well, you're not looking at portfolio. Yeah, I am. I'm looking at their portfolios. I'm not as emotionally involved in their portfolios. I just know that there's activities we have to take, and we take those activities, and that's it. And we don't overthink it. Don't get scared. Worried about the human stuff, the economic stuff. It literally takes care of itself once you have it built right. It kind of manages itself correctly.
Amen. Love it.
Amen.
Well, Jonathan, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Yeah, I forgot you were going to ask me about a difference-making tip. What is this? Yeah, I think the main thing is stop predicting, start planning, and then you can add on stay mindful.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets,
come on.
Stop predicting, start planning, and stay mindful. I think that is excellent right there. It sums it up. I love it. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for coming back on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Easy enough. The website is mindful.money. And if you want to skip the website, you can actually go to Amazon and pick up Mindful Money, the book. And anyone that wants to put their name into anyone that's in the Savage Nation that wants to put their name in, and say Savage Nation, when we launch the next digital course, we're going to give everyone a discount, that sees us on Savage Nation.
Excellent. Okay. And so tell me more about how they can take advantage of that.
Yeah. On the website, Mindful Money, there's a place that you can just pop in your email and your name and your email address and just make sure you say in the note there that you saw us on Savage Nation.
Got it. Perfect. Well, Jonathan, thank you again for coming back on, and thanks always for listening. Everybody go to mindful.money, for all the great resources that Jonathan has. You can find his book on Amazon. And when you go to mindful.money, enter your information into the email box and let him know that you listen on the podcast, and you'll get a discount on the new course. Thank you again, Jonathan.
Thanks, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about how do I start a podcast, that I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.